Welcome back to the Where Have You Been podcast. It's your host, Mr. Gage English, a.k.a. the old trusty 12 Gage. Shooting iron long Tom, Betsy blasting blunderbuss, double barrel breech loader, the Gage EB. The swift eagle eye English swooping down on your swamp to bring you another special edition of the Where Have You Been podcast. So tune in today. We have a podcast for you that I did out in Oregon with some Oregonians, my brother Eric and sister-in-law Mariah. Yeah, they just got married not too long ago, and they've had a baby since then, and he's 10 months old. And so I flew out there to visit my nephew and my family and some more family out there. Good time. Spent a good 2 weeks there, and on this night we cracked a couple beers and talked about flat earthers, parenthood, the Oregonian life. Yeah, and not a bad place to be at times. You know, the air is nice and there's lots of trees. You're just right in the middle of nature. I hope you enjoy this podcast. Without further ado, we'll get right into that, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Oh, that also, unfortunately, is like a perfect environment to breed a conspiracy theory, because conspiracy theories rely on lots of people not believing that theory.
Yeah.
So, but I have a lot of respect. If someone is willing to, like, blast themselves up into the air high enough to, like, see the curvature of space to prove that it's not there, I don't have any problem with that person.
Yeah. I would like to see how he made that rocket, actually.
In my opinion, that person's a hero.
Even if
they're wrong.
I think flat earthers and round earthers can get along great.
Yeah.
If we just work together.
Yeah, I think a lot of things that, like, our country and probably the world too, like, there's like a, you know, like, I'm right, you're wrong mentality, instead of like, hey, let's figure this out.
Exactly.
It's a lot more complicated, and, you know.
And I always think it's really crazy when you're like flying up above somebody, like you're in an airplane, and how perfectly circular rock fields and pieces of land are. I know that they survey them.
Yeah.
But I'm always like, that is so weird. Because also, like, in nature, math is everywhere. Symmetry and, like, every, like, I don't know. It's it's really cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I like the way rivers divide property lines and everything, too.
Yeah.
Everything looks way cooler up in the sky.
It's like you don't even know all those perfect circular crops are
exist.
There.
Exist. You're especially like, walking. Whoa. It's so weird.
Mm-hmm. Like so mountain weird. Tops, like just like, yeah, that's what's out this way, and like, you fly that way, you're gonna see that.
I know.
You just don't see it because there's like mountaintops covering your view in the city. Like, you look that way, there's mountain range. There's like buildings over there. You know. Gotta fly over that stuff.
I also love, like, when you're flying into California, how, like, you just, I don't know what it is about flying to California, but then there's, like, everyone has a pool, and it's super tiny,
and you see these
freeways, and I've lived in California, and I know how crazy they are, but from up above, you're like, look at Shadow. You're like this teeny little, you can't even see the people, you see these teeny little cars making their way into
well, you're
your
just a little
like,
human.
You're just, yeah, and you're like, I'm like, where are you going? I want to know where you're going. What are you doing?
Yeah, I try to, like, I look at cars and, like, realize how slow they're actually going.
Yeah.
In the plane.
That's so funny.
Yeah, super.
That's puts it in perspective. You're like, oh, we're really tiny little things. We think we're so big in our little lives, our big lives.
Mm-hmm.
Then you, like, get up on a plane and you're like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could be, someone could be looking down on my car and I'm nothing. Like, it's very humbling.
That's why I like looking up at the people in the plane, like, oh man, that plane looks so small. The people
I know,
like,
that's
a little tiny plane.
I know.
I always think about
what are you doing? You're loud. Can you get out of here?
Yeah. I always wonder if there's anyone looking out the window at me when I'm looking at the planes.
I
do that with the train all the time too. Like if I'm like taking a piss in the backyard, there's a train going by, it's a passenger train.
Like, you should just wave while you're like taking a piss.
What are you gonna do about it?
Oh my god.
They just saw your dick going like 90 miles per hour.
Yeah, unless they had a telescope.
You're not even sure if it was a dick, it's so fast. You're like, yeah, what did I just see? Just see the skin.
That's the beauty of it. Like, did you see it or did you just think you saw it? For all you know, I'm just like, you know, holding my zipper.
Yeah.
Smoke. Let's go smoke. I'm just gonna keep recording.
Did you just did he roll that for you?
I rolled.
You rolled it?
I rolled it.
I'm not going to.
Mr. Roller.
Like that. One singular hit.
Let's see how it goes. Make sure it's the right way.
Make sure, yeah.
I'm gonna bring like 5 beers with me just in case.
5 beers.
So Mariah, what is it like being a parent now?
Oh. You know,
what was it like having a baby in the middle of a pandemic?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know. It's weird, I think, probably.
It's a weird transition, right?
Yeah, especially like when babies need to be socialized, like human.
Yeah.
Humans need to be socialized. If we're not socialized, then we become isolated. I don't know, and it plays into your adulthood. So, like, having a baby when you're not supposed to, like, let other people touch them or hold them. Mm.
Like, extra cautious.
Yeah, it's weird. Mm. But he seems to be very positive and
does
friendly.
He seems to be enjoying life.
Yes, he does.
That's good.
Which is good. Which then makes you think that maybe, like, that just plays into their personality. Because some kids, if they don't get so socialized, they're still able to recognize that being social is an important key to being human, humaning, I guess.
Yeah.
So, like, he's able to, but then there's other kids, like our friend of mine who had her baby, she, like, cries, you know, whenever she sees somebody new and stuff, and, like, it could be that way, but maybe that's just a personality trait. Maybe we have the ability to, like, recognize, I don't know, ourselves in the,
I think,
in the world? I don't know.
Having a baby has shown me like countless perspectives of human existence and animal existence, and I don't, you know, so far in my short experience with this, I don't think there's a right way to do it,
right?
But I think that there are different ways to do it, and I definitely think that they're like obvious, there's obvious outcomes of certain behavior and certain choices and all that, but also like I don't think any one baby is the same. It's like no one person is the same. Like you can't, you know, like you.
Like
you
were saying.
For example, like think about like clinical trials with like controlled environments. You get different results from different people.
Yeah.
So like, babies are the same.
It's like you were saying how like the grandparents always try to tell you how to like raise the kid, but like you were raised differently than that baby.
Yeah, and also
and
different
things
needs.
Things changed too, so then adapting to the world
has changed.
The
world
and the knowledge that was gained about infant development and like.
And plus, you know, every baby is different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the weirdest, one of the weirdest parts is like when the baby's born, you're like, okay, food, diaper change, okay, you should be good. But then you start to realize that it's not a pet, it's like a human. So then, like, there's other reasons it could be feeling, or the baby could be feeling different things. It could be laughing at something, or it could be, like, crying because it's just uncomfortable. And then you start having to realize, like, oh, are you hot? Are you cold?
Yeah.
Are you just sad today? Like, and then that's, like, one of the weirdest parts is, like, oh,
you're
wait a second, I'm used to feeding and watering the dogs, and this is, like, I'm raising, like, a conscious being.
Yeah.
Which is probably one of the weirdest parts.
It's weird when I first realized, like, oh, maybe you're just bored because you've been sitting in the living room playing with the same toys for a while.
And
like,
then you take him out and he's not bored and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, yeah, you know what, if I was, I'm bored too. Like, we should have gone out, like, a long time ago.
Yeah.
They're very much like us, but they just don't have the language or the, like, like, not the wisdom or anything. I mean, obviously, they don't know danger, they don't know all that stuff, but it's almost like it brings you back. Having a kid brings you back to those sweet moments of your childhood that got destroyed by your family's, like, chaos that you forgot about.
Yeah.
You get to go back because you're like, whoa, a water bottle. The way that the water reflects when you roll it on the floor is so cool. Why did we forget that?
Yeah.
Or like opening the fact that you guys, when Eric does this, is really silly, but I woke up and I was like, oh my God, the fact that we can stand up like against gravity and walk to the bathroom, pull down our own pants, go to the bathroom, come in here, open a cupboard, get out a glass
like
of water. That is all something we had to learn.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and you take those moments for granted, and then you see a child who can't do anything. Like, they poop and pee themselves, and they're like, help! Like, and you think you came from that. It's really weird. It's very cool, though.
That is cool, yeah.
It makes things magical.
Yeah.
Things human adults do around the house, the baby sees, is just like, I'll be there someday.
I know! He sees little kids running through the store, and he goes, how does he do that? He like, looks at him really fast and like gets excited.
It's not funny to the first time he saw a person that wasn't an adult. He like was like freaked out.
He screamed. I think he was
a
like
a person. Wait,
yeah. Oh, like a child. Oh, okay. like another baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was like,
yeah, she's.
What?
It was our friend's baby, and he goes or she goes, wow, you're so cute. Look at your cheeks. And he goes, just screamed. But he's never, if you think of it in his perspective, he was taking a nap, he woke up, there's a small human. So for me, I would imagine it's like waking up in a circus and you've never been to a circus, and there's little people and there's people of all different sizes with different voice ranges, and you're like, what is this bad dream? Just
like, wait, you exist too?
What is that?
There's little different sizes of people, or and then they finally realize that everyone grows up. There's not just different breeds of small and big. I mean,
yeah.
There are, but
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not just stuck at an age forever.
Yeah. First time, like, showing them a mirror was weird, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's always so funny.
Can you imagine what that feels
mirror.
Like, though?
Yeah.
Like, how... Oh, my gosh.
Discovering yourself in a mirror.
I imagine, like, birth... Okay, so, like... birth or any of those moments, like looking at yourself in the mirror and like realizing when you move, it moves, has to be equivalent to adults doing psychedelics. Because like birth, you're like cozy and warm, and all of a sudden you're like, bleh, bleh, there's all these colors and warm like feelings, you come out and it's cold,
yeah.
And there's all this like all these people now and things touching you, and then looking at yourself in the mirror and discovering that like, okay, wait a second, you're doing the same thing that I'm doing, and what that feels like consciously, whoa, it's gotta be, similar to that psychedelic, like, ooh, I'm hot, I'm cold, ooh, I see myself, wait, am I gonna change, is my reflection gonna change if I stare at it long enough, like, I wish he could speak, well, not necessarily, but like, that he could,
yeah,
it would be cool to hear what toddlers have to say when in their first, like, year.
It would be cool if you weren't their parent. I think that, like, they're gonna have... If you were their parent, they might have opinions about you.
Yeah.
Might be...
Why the fuck are you putting me in this goddamn thing again?
Yes.
Baby jail.
I bet they're like Chucky dolls. Like, the way that they would talk.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They'd be like little evil monsters.
You try to put them down for their nap when they're ready. You have a fucking nap, are you? Yeah? Yeah? You're gonna go down for a nap.
Yeah, you might be the one going down for a nap.
Yeah.
That's weird. It makes you want to be more responsible. Like, it makes you think about the future more, I think.
Yeah.
Like, before, you know, you're like spending money, doing different things, and all of a sudden you're like, I want to plan for like positive things for myself for like later. I don't think our culture's like used to doing that. We don't go, ooh, I want this later, so I'm gonna start now. I think we're very into like, I want it now.
I don't think
I recently stopped living like day to day and just sort of like been doing that, like just seeing where my mind's at and thinking about the future. You know, another day, just another day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I thought about how short my life is actually going to be, especially depending on the way that you live it until we had a baby. Where, you know, it's like, you know, the average lifespan's, you know, this long, and how old is your child going to be when that is over? You know, like that completely changed the way I thought about how I should, you know, how I wanted to be.
I was thinking about that, like, today too. It's just like, man, if you have a baby when you're like, I was thinking, like, I'm 27 now, and then, like, 10 years from now, like, or, like, 10 years ago, I was 17, and I was just in high school, and now it's been 10 years, and I'm looking at where I'm at now, and I'm like, wow, 10 years, not even that long.
I know, isn't that weird how time shortens? Like, do you remember being a kid in the summer? How long that felt?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was, like, a week was, like,
felt
a month, like, or several months, you're, like, in class, like when kids have spring break, you have to start over again and teach them the basics of like how to behave, how to act, because they come back like it's been a huge amount of time for them. It's really,
I remember when
just so weird.
Just going to class, going to like one of my classes in high school felt like 2 hours, felt like forever.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, school finally ends that day. You're like, oh, this day would never come. Now, like, time has just been flying. Mm-hmm. Like, ever since I got out of school.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, the long term time goes by quickly, but the short term time, depending on what you're doing, it's like a weird double edged sword. Or, like, one, the side you need to use is always the dull end, and the other side is the sharp end.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor.
Yeah.
Waiting is always longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I just soak in those moments. It won't be forever.
I used to like going to the airport and waiting.
I love doing that still.
Yeah. It's like something about it. It's like,
I don't
know,
but
like there's nothing else I could be doing.
Yeah.
So like,
you're
okay,
leaving somewhere, but you're going somewhere. It's like you have your future and it's going to be there, but you also have your past. It's like you're meeting right in the middle between this past and future.
I always love the feeling of the airport when you land back home too. It's like, hi, I went somewhere and I'm back.
Yeah.
So good.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, I know this place like the back side of my hand.
Yep. Like, welcome back, bitches. Can you hear me? They're like, no. And you're like, really?
Alright. Well. See ya.
Alright.
Come back with all your stories and they're like, you're like, what's up with you? And they're like, same shit. Different day.
You're like all excited.
Stop
and they're just like, yeah, it's not that exciting. It's fucking life.
That was 2 hours ago. You missed your flight, jackass.
Shit. Yeah, it's definitely fun to travel. It's a good way to like reset your mind.
It really is. Put yourself in a different place. And you get to come back, there's always a weird feeling. I feel like it's almost like a wall. Whenever I like travel and come back home, there's just like, it's like this like, I imagine this like actual physical, energetic wall. And I see my car entering into it as, or like if you land on a plane, you're like, and you just hit it. It's all your stuff that you left there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
I didn't know that.
Just like, you have to.
I'm already anticipating that energy field. Like, as soon as I land in Salt Lake, it's like, oh, my shit's here. All my laundry, all my karma, all my.
Yeah, that's a good feeling.
It is. It's a good feeling, actually.
It's familiar.
It's,
yeah,
getting home again.
But then you got, like, your experience and your time away that I think it's refreshing. You get to kind of
reevaluate.
Put down our thoughts more often in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've learned more about ourselves and maybe.
Well, I think we also, like, see our struggles and our progress and our
right.
victories, our defeats, and all that shit.
It's like reading old notes that you were, or, like, have you ever read something, like, I was just going through like my high school stuff and I go, I don't even remember writing that. Like but like seeing that piece of yourself where you're like, that's so weird, and thinking you were so grown up back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then like looking at yourself now and going, no, I was definitely not.
Yeah.
Remembering how proud and grown up and big you felt. felt, and looking back, and you're like, oh, look at you,
yeah.
Little self. Wow, we had a
you
lot
and your little opinions.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, where did I even get that?
Yeah.
Where did all that shit come from?
So like, you know, like having a kid, you know, it's like, you know, you don't need to have a kid for it to bring meaning to your life. Anyone can find meaning in their own way. But for me, it's like brought, you know, reminded me of this Twilight Zone episode we just watched the other night where, like this dude was like involved with some like gangs or some kind of corrupt money thing or whatever, and his son was like what he considered a clean part of him, an innocent part of him.
Right.
You know, like, he felt like he had chosen the wrong things in life.
Yeah.
And now he has this, like, new slate, which is also a dangerous thing because it can lead to vicarious living, but
mm-hmm.
It was just interesting, like, I kind of feel, I don't know, like a, you know.
I feel like kids, they know something, man. It's like when you put a kid on the grass for the first time and they, like, try to avoid it at all costs.
Yeah, they're like,
nah.
You put them on the sidewalk, they're like, all right.
Yeah.
Put over here, they're like, nah. Yeah, he has a funny thing with textures.
We don't know about them.
Yeah, right?
It's like not a pure energy or something, because kids are like, they're just like pure at heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any judgment or anything.
Yeah.
They might get mad at you for little things,
oh,
but
yeah, they will. Yeah.
You make it better. You make it up to them.
They're simpler.
Mm-hmm.
Which also makes them more complex, kind of, too.
Yeah.
But, like, I think it's also interesting, like, different stages of child development, like, different things. You see different things, and, like, so, like, for example, like, the grass thing you're talking about, like, right now, that's how Caston is, and he's about 10 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll, like, he's begun to kind of like the grass, and he'll, like, sit there, and he'll, like, pull at it, you know, pull the grass out, and all that. Sometimes he might try and eat it, sometimes he won't. But, like, at first he was, like, weirded out by it, and then, like, you know, eventually kids love grass, and I think it depends on, like, how they're raised, like, if they grew up in the country, they're gonna think this, if they grew up in a city where they, you know, the only grass they see is, like, at the park or whatever, you know, things would be different, but I feel like my feet are extremely sensitive because, like, I don't know, I just wear shoes and socks too much.
Yeah.
And, like, I grew up wearing shoes and socks too much.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, my wife, Mariah, she grew up, like, on a ranch out in the middle of the country. Her feet are, like, they're soft, but, like, she just, like, she'll, like, walk on rocks, and I'll walk on rocks, and I'll be like, ow, 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 ow.
Yeah. I have friends like that. I'm like, take your shoes off. I'm like, nah, dude, there's thorns and rocks.
Yeah.
And like, they're like, oh, no, but it's great.
Yeah. And her advice is, like, you just need to do it more. Like, no.
Atlantis is always running around barefoot too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's good because there's like, that's where we came from. It's kind of funny, like all like I don't peel carrots all the time. Depends on who I'm cooking them for, but like if I'm just gonna eat some carrots myself, I'll just cut them up. Maybe I'll like rinse them a little bit, but when food falls on the ground and you're afraid to eat it, you're like, well, where did that food come from? It depends on, like, what kind of ground. If it fell in a pile of shit, obviously you don't want to eat it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's like, I'm like that in the kitchen. I hate wasting food at work, but it's like, it's like kitchen policy. If, like, falls on the floor, it's like, no, fucking, it depends on the food, too. It's like, can I throw it back in the fryer?
Yeah.
Or is it like a vegetable where I can just steam up some more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kitchen floors are probably a lot like dirtier than like the average kitchen in a home. Cause, like,
oh yeah, it's disgusting too. Yeah, yeah. I always throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a few bad days where I just like,
mm-hmm.
too much of a rush.
I think that's like kitchen. The biggest problem with like. Most foodborne illness probably comes from like restaurants because people like cooks are pressured to put out food quickly, and sometimes like I'm not gonna admit to anything, but you know, every cook is going to be tempted to make a, you know, a decision that might not be the best one because they want to, they don't want to have to set themselves back 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's only 15 minutes too. Yeah.
And honestly, like probably most of the time, like if you just like fried a piece of like chicken or something and it fell on the ground, I would fucking probably eat it.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Sometimes I go by my best judgment. I'm like, would I eat that?
And even still, like, even better, like, if you drop it back in the fryer, boom. That's like, you know, 350, 400 degrees. That's like, you leave it in there for, I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but it's probably okay. But the health department doesn't say it's okay.
Yeah. No, yeah, I don't let anything, like, fresh off the floor go onto a plate. But, like, if I could throw it in the fryer.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple times I've done that.
Yeah, like, fresh vegetables that fall on the floor in my own kitchen, I know what's been on the floor, most likely. So, like, I'll make a good judgment, but a kitchen, like, a commercial floor is a lot really different. Gross,
yeah.
The worst is, like, when there's a point when I was in a grocery store and I had, like, a piece of, like, raw pork that I was going to buy, or it was, like, pork or chicken or something.
Yeah.
And I put it up on the conveyor belt, and it was leaking everywhere. And I was like trying to tell the cashier, like, hey, it's like meat juice. It's like, and then I was like thinking, like, every single person behind me is, their groceries are gonna roll over this meat juice and they're gonna die.
Hmm. Cashier's like, I didn't get trained for any of that shit.
Mm-hmm. She's like, what's meat juice? You mean, like, we have almond milk? We have, like, prune juice? Like, sliders on there, you
know? Oh, yeah. So what's living in Springfield like?
Well,
if you had the option, would you
Live
anywhere at the moment?
Well, I mean, if I had the option to live anywhere I want.
What do you like most about Springfield? Like,
what I like about the place we live in right now is that it has everything that we wanted before we started looking for it. Almost, like, eerily so. And it's close enough to Eugene, which is where we do most of our, like, you know, living stuff. And it's quiet.
Yeah, it's very communal too. There's like dog parks.
Yeah, we're like
disc golf courses, and it's a small.
Mm-hmm.
It's right next to Eugene, which is a pretty big town, but
it's yeah, got Eugene,
what you need here.
Yeah, Eugene and Springfield, they're almost. They feel like the same town almost.
That's what my dad was saying. He's like, they're one and the same.
Yeah, it's just like a really big. They have like different names on each side of them, and there's like culturally, there's different. You can definitely tell where what. Which one you're in just by looking around, but yeah, I love the place we live. It's, I want to stay here until it's
beautiful. Yeah,
and I'd love to buy a house here in this area. I think that, like, we got so fucking lucky to live here for like the price that we got the place at for, and I just want to stay here till we can, you know, save money here and all that.
That's what's up.
Yeah,
I'd rather be doing that. A place like this than in a fucking big old Salt Lake, just big city.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm just like, that's too much going on here for me.
Yep. Yeah, and the university is getting bigger and bigger in Eugene, and they're like buildings that are probably bigger than Eugene has ever seen. But it's like a, you know, you gotta remember that, like, all these people coming here are, you know, they're sending their students to the university, and they're also bringing money to the community, business to the community, all that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Bittersweet. It's like, you don't, if, you know, if you want to be living in a town where nobody really cares about, you're going to just be living in the middle of nowhere with a town that has, like, one bathroom and, like, a gas station with some hot dogs or some shit, you know?
Uh-huh.
If you want to have some culture and civilization.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right on the border out here, too. So it's a kind of a nice little escape from all that, too.
Yeah, we're like 10 minutes away from just the forest.
You're still right there. You can go into town if you want. pretty nice. It's silent night.
Yeah.
Living by disc golf courses are always nice.
Yeah, I feel like this area too has like a lot of disc golf courses too.
Dexter is a really dope one.
Yeah.
We should go disc golfing.
Hell yeah.
I'm going mountain biking tomorrow, but like Friday or something, we can do that.
Hell yeah.
There's
yeah.
that one right there, that 8-hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off.
Oh, sweet.
I tried disc golfing a few times and I'm just not very good at it. You know, I throw. I think that's just something that comes with practice. Like anything you do the first time you're.
You gotta wind up. You gotta do some stretches first when you get there and wind up those. And it's like, I always throw better. I think it's called backhand. I suck going this way. I throw like way off the opposite direction. It's just like starting a lawnmower. You just start way back here.
Yeah.
It's really like a. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I consider it kind of like. Feels like track and field-ish. It's like the throwing and the
shot put.
Yeah, like actually, there's an actual like form you want to have every time I throw.
Like, yeah, that was the hardest part. Kind of like discouraging to me. Is it like anything you try for the first time, you're probably not gonna be very good at it. But yeah, it's like. It's like surprisingly, like when you see someone do it, it looks like you just go, yeah, you just throw it and you spin it and it like just like goes in the direction you want. Boom.
Yeah. But the hype when you get your first hole in one.
Oh, I bet, yeah. It's just like, oh, yeah. Yeah,
I've never had it. Work. Yeah. Never had a hole in one.
I'm still waiting for it. I'm just holding out, man. I know what's
seen
come
the hype on other people. I've been present and I've seen people get a hole in one. Seen it like skip and hit the ground and like go into the chain. Hole in one. It's like, oh, everyone signs the disc.
Hell yeah.
Or people bring Sharpies out on the course. It's like a part of their disc bag. Like some people have like embroidered like towels and like.
Nice. And, yeah, like, some people get a.
Get like, roll out. Get you like. Glow stick or like glow in the dark, get them black lights so they can make the discs glow in the dark, and they get the things they can fetch the disc out of the river with, and like they just come prepared.
Yeah, if you're gonna spend more than like a few dollars on a disc, you don't want to lose it.
Yeah, I've had some end up in the river, and some are still in a disc jail. It's not jail, but it's like there's only like a couple hours of the day where you can come and like claim your disc. They're open, and it's only on certain days of the week. It's always really inconvenient times, so I can never go get my disc back. I'm always like working, and it's like too fucking early. I'm like, fuck that.
It's all the ones they recover from the water, or what?
Yeah, or if you just lose it in the trees and someone finds it, and that's why I write my name and number on all of it.
That's a good idea. Yeah, remember, Corey and Christy. They met by you guys out there. They were, I don't know if they still are doing a lot of disc golf, but I remember a few years ago, they were like very avid discers. So this is a new topic. We're thinking about, actually, we're wanting to buy a Toyota RV because they have a reliable engine. They have a reliable, if you buy a manual transmission, they have a pretty easy to repair transmission. And they're decently sized for just, you know, the average humble couple with maybe a baby.
Huh.
And if you're lucky enough to get one, some of them have four wheel drive capability, and some of them don't, most of them don't. But they're like relatively cheap and a good amount of room. Very reliable. They get up to like 400,000 or 500,000 miles. They have the four cylinder. Well, the ones you want are the four cylinder Toyota engines. Those are like the notoriously if reliable engines that Toyota created.
Okay, I was wondering what you're saying, like an RV with the camper okay.
Yeah, so it's basically just like a little, it's like a little Toyota pickup that they just threw a camper, a giant camper shell on the back. And so people will aftermarket, you know, customize them with like a big, you know, water reservoir, a solar power system. They'll rip out the inner shell and re-insulate it and put the inner shell back in, or they'll do like, sometimes they'll do like wood laminate flooring as the whole inner shell, or do all kinds of shit. They do all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah.
I would love to get one and just customize it my own.
Yeah.
Dude, I would do like some border leather work on some cables and
mm-hmm. Dude, that'd be fucking sweet.
Just like, yeah, my grandpa has like some dope furniture like that in his basement.
Yeah, and they like started making them in like late 70s too, so you could totally adapt like that, like, you know, kind of like,
yeah,
70s.
I like that look too.
Mm-hmm.
70s look.
Mm-hmm. It's like a mixture of like the, it's like the 70s people that, you know, the whole city thing was, I wasn't alive, so I don't really know, but I imagine the whole city thing was going on, and then the hippies were like, we're going to go back to, like, the olden times, which were, like, 5 years ago. And just, like, you know, doing leather working and shit, or, you know, all kinds of, like, cool little fuzzy balls, you know?
Yeah. So that dude's trying to... Oh.
I did. I was just...
Man, I love chatting with these guys. Sure will miss them. I'll also miss the dense, moist coastal breeze out here and the smell and the energy these forests let off. It's not like Utah, although Utah does have very beautiful forests, mountains, and landscapes, but it's like getting cabin fever for me. I'm so familiar with Salt Lake City that it just becomes taxing on my mind and body, and I just need something new. Sometimes it was very nice to get out here and get a nice breather away from the big city. And I hope you guys enjoyed these podcasts I did out here in Oregon. I had a blast. I truly did. It's been a great time. I can't wait to come back here. Until next time, folks, signing off.